it, cause the Kings is back.
What's up, guys? Smarket Mania running wild. I'm your host, Mike Auger, and my partner, as always, live from location, is Harley Callahan, real name, no gimmicks.
What's up? What's up? We're at Java Connection in Cyprus. We're Skyping this, man.
Stop by Java Connection and say what's up to Harley. Have a cup of Joe, maybe talk some pro wrestling.
Always down for that.
So we got a lot to get into today. Lots of big news happened over the past week. And of course,
this week alone, yeah.
Yeah, we see, the thing is, we had discussed doing Bound for Glory. We didn't know if we were going to do it or not. And then we completely forgot that New Japan Power Struggle was going on the same weekend.
Yes. We basically said, fuck TNA, let's do New Japan.
Pretty much. We will touch on Bound for Glory, just what happened there. Basically, it was a big clusterfuck. But before we do that, the biggest news of the week came from Power Struggle, so we'll get into that right now.
Let's do it.
I mean, what we'll cover here is just the bigger matches, I would say, because a lot of stuff got set up for the Tokyo Dome. We pretty much know the full card now at this point.
Your
standard six-man tags, you know, that are just there to get guys on the show. One match, though, they had was Taguchi and ACH taking on Roppongi 3K. I didn't watch the match. The important thing to take away from it, did you?
Yeah, I watched the match. It was good, you know. It was just basically there to set up, what you're going to say right now.
Yeah, the Young Bucks came out and challenged Roppongi 3K for the Tokyo Dome. So the junior light heavyweight, or the junior heavyweight tag team championships, that's the match for the Tokyo Dome. Should be a good match.
I also think Roppongi 3K was the first title holders of the junior heavyweights to win the tournament, correct?
Oh, yeah, the junior tag tournament?
Yeah, they were the first. It was the first time the title holders were able to had ever won the tournament.
If not, it's been a long time since they had. So they're really pushing these guys to the moon. I expect them to beat the Young Bucks in the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. But they have to.
Yeah. Remains to be seen. The next match was Toru Yano and Minoru Suzuki for the Open Neverweight Championship in a bull rope match.
I love this match so much.
Really?
Yeah, it was just like really fun, and man, Minoru Suzuki's a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, he is. I don't know. I mean, I thought there was a lot of sloppiness in this, but Toru Yano is not really known for like a great work rate. He's known for comedy and shtick. Suzuki Gun goons are getting involved left and right, just like every other Suzuki Gun match. And it ended with Suzuki getting the gotch pile driver on Yano, and then choking him with the bull rope to pin him. And then he basically beats the fuck out of the referees after the match, too.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Note on Minoru Suzuki, he's going to be facing Cody Rhodes at Death Before Dishonor, the Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
That's right. That's coming up soon, too, right?
Yeah, so that's going to be him. I think it's Minoru Suzuki's first time in U.S. soil in 25 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The next match is the biggest news of the night, in my opinion, is what happened. Kenny Omega defending the United States Championship against Trent Barretta. This is a very good match.
It was a good match. I mean, it definitely wasn't no like six-star match, but that's okay. Like, yeah. Kenny Omega can still have good matches, and he knows how to save his shtick. It was a really good match. I enjoyed it.
Trent's a great worker, and there was one move he did in particular. This is something I've never seen. Omega was kind of hanging on the ropes, like 619 position.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Trent slides out of the ring and kind of like does a snap German suplex as he's sliding out of the ring. It looked really fucking cool, dude.
Yeah, they replayed that. That was a great move. I remember that move. That was one of the better moves. Yeah, it was a great story told. There was a lot of back and forth, really building up Trent as a heavyweight competitor now. You know, obviously Kenny hits the one-winged angel, gets the pin, goes on a long promo.
Yeah, and another big spot in the match, though, was Omega getting hit with the pile driver on the ring apron. They did that table spot, too, where the table was, like, reversed.
Yeah.
Which looked like it was fun to take at all.
Yeah, and then he double stomped him right after.
Yeah. The big news of the match, though, you go ahead and break it down for us.
So Kenny's going on this rant how there's no one, and he's doing it in Japanese, which the crowd just loves. Going on this rant how there's no one left for him to beat, no contenders. He's about ready to tell the crowd goodbye, goodnight. And then we hear Judas by Fozzy start playing, and the GOAT, Chris Jericho, appears out of nowhere. And basically just tells Kenny that he will face him at Wrestle Kingdom 12 January 4th.
It's pretty crazy, dude. His promo was really good. He said...
I knew something was... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he said, you know, a lot of people have claimed they're the best in this business. Edge, Shawn Michaels, CM Punk. They're all gone, and I'm still here. And he said, Kenny versus Jericho. The Alpha versus the Omega. You know, I want to take you on... And he's like, we'll see what you're made of, bitch. And he tore up that picture of Kenny Omega, too. So I thought it was great.
It was an amazing promo. I knew something was going on because for a couple weeks they've been doing, like, back and forth Twitter feud. You know, it started with someone said Kenny Omega was the best wrestler from Winnipeg. And Chris Jericho was like, man, not even. So I knew something was going to happen. I didn't think it was this.
No, I think everybody was expecting this to maybe take place on the Cruise of Jericho.
Definitely, yeah, the Cruise of Jericho. Sail it in, man.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, Jericho's... I don't know if this is a one-shot or not with New Japan, but he's a free agent, and he signed this deal with them as far as this match is concerned, so...
And I think the trade from this, not only is he getting Resi Kenny, but he's also getting wrestlers to do his cruise. He's got the Young Bucks and Marty Skull already on there.
Yeah.
It's really great match. I'm so stoked for it. He's not under contract with WWE anymore, so he's free to do what he wants. It was awesome to see how popular he still is. I remember me and you were talking when he went to when he was part of the Japanese leg of the tour this year with WWE. You know, I think that kind of kept, I think that helped push the idea because he hadn't been in Japan for a long time. Right. So to see that he still had that popularity, I think he's like, you know what? I think I can actually do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think this kind of opens the door, too, for him getting a lot more New Japan guys on that cruise, too, if they're going to do that Ring of Honor tournament.
No, definitely.
The Tournament of Honor.
Man, I was on that cruise.
I know, it's fucking expensive, man. I looked into it.
Yeah, dude. We should stick with Long Beach when they come back.
Right? And that's another thing, too. Right after this match, they announced that they're coming back March 25th, I believe it was, of next year.
25th or 24th. Yeah.
Which also happens to be this guy's birthday weekend, so we'll see how that pans out. That's right.
My birthday's on the 19th.
March 19th?
Yeah.
No shit?
Yeah, for real.
There you go, see?
we skipped the light heavyweight title match. Will Ospreay versus Marty Skull.
Great match.
That was a really good match, and it was, I think I figured out what Will Ospreay, it's not Will Ospreay selling that bothers me, it's how prepared everyone is to receive his moves. Yep. So like, you know, Marty Skull was prepared,
looks
but he's
like
not
it's
always
too much
prepared.
Cooperation, right?
Yeah, like no one's prepared, but he's not prepared to take someone else's move, but that's okay. It was still a great match. It was definitely a clash of styles. You had the flippy stuff going on, and then you had Marty Skull just like chopping the fuck out of him, man. Like you can hear Will Ospreay choking.
Yeah. And then the story here too is like Will Ospreay can't beat the villain. He's lost to him pretty much every time he's gone up against him. And it ends with he goes for the Os Cutter and Skrull reverses it into the chicken wing. And I was like,
he jumps.
That's an awesome counter,
catches
dude.
Him and gets into the chicken wing. It was awesome. I had to watch it twice.
And then Ospreay kind of gets out of it. and they go through a couple roll-throughs, and Skrull catches them and ends up getting the pin and wins the belt.
Yeah, and then, you know, Will Ospreay's arguing with the official, and then out comes Time Bomb. What's his name again?
Kushida came out first.
Yeah, Kushida came out first, was telling Will Ospreay to get the back of the line, saying he wants a shot at the title.
How awesome Ospreay's is like, New Japan's promos, though, compared to WWE?
Oh, they're so good, dude.
Because Kushida gets in the ring, he's like, I want to challenge you at Tokyo Dome, motherfucker!
I just loved it so much, dude. It was so great.
Then Ospreay grabs the mic, though. He goes, you want another shot? Well, you better hop in your DeLorean and get the fuck in the back of the line. Shit, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was great. Takahashi. Yeah, and then Takahashi comes out with his hockey mask and his gloves on, and he's like, hey, I'm going to get a you guys aren't, because it's like, the story is, every time he tries to challenge someone, someone knocks him out.
Right.
So he comes out, he's like, I want to challenge it, and Will Ospreay, and then, not Will Ospreay, Marty Skrull is just, man, you know what? I could beat all you guys anytime I want. I could beat you guys all the same day, you know? He's like, yeah. Well, I have a fatal four-way match. Yeah. And so, which are very rare in New Japan, they were saying.
Yes, they are. So that's the match at the Tokyo Dome. You've got Marty Skrull defending the Junior Heavyweight Championship against Will Ospreay, Hiromu Takahashi, and Kushida. That match should be epic.
It's going to be awesome. You got like the two high flyers and the two kind of hard hitters, you know. Another thing I love about Marty Skrull is like he grabs the fingers and like he just shouts. He's like, I'm going to break his fucking fingers, and just snaps him. And you can see like, I think he actually did put him out of place for real.
I don't know how he does that, man. That's such a great trick.
Yeah, I think it's a British thing too, because Pete Dunne does it a lot too.
The main event was Tanahashi defending the Intercontinental title against Kota Ibushi. They had a hell of a match.
It started to get more interesting. Like, it wasn't a bad match. I think it just got more interesting as like it went on. Like, it really built itself.
Tanahashi picks up the win, and then we finally find out who Switchblade is, which is Jay White. What'd you think of this?
I'm not familiar with Jay White. It looked exciting, the confrontation between the two. I enjoyed the match itself, and then the leading up to it. Like, I'm still trying to get my history on in Jay White. So, yeah.
I feel like, I don't know if this gimmick's going to work well for Jay White. And I kind of feel like he was a Kenny Omega ripoff.
Okay.
That's the impression I got.
To me, he feels like a Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, I could see that too, definitely. But that's the match for the Tokyo Dome. So when we get into Breaking Kayfabe, we'll break down all the matches that we know for the Tokyo Dome so far. So Bound for Glory happened. I did see some clips from the show.
Yeah.
I know one thing that happened was the Taya Rosemary Red Wedding match, which was the first blood match, was canceled because they had concerns that Taya wasn't going to be able to get back into the country, which to me makes no sense because she's been going to Mexico this whole time.
Maybe so, she got caught with something she shouldn't have.
I don't fucking get it. Yeah, I don't understand what the problem is there. But so that match was canceled. They had LAX and Ohio versus Everybody had a match.
OVE.
And I saw some clips from this match. The first, like, 2 minutes, there's a stage dive. Guys going through tables. Sammy Callahan shows up. He pile drives a dude through a table. From what I was hearing, though, like, a lot of the matches were sloppy. They weren't real well done.
There's no management. There's no leadership there.
Alberto Del Rio came out and cut a promo basically saying I didn't do anything wrong and they stripped me of the title.
Yeah, on Alberto, we have to report this. He and Paige are no longer together, and I'm happy for that.
Absolutely, because from all indications are that Alberto Del Rio is a pile of shit.
Oh, some yeah, definitely.
Just, yeah, miserable human being, you know? So the main event happens, which is Johnny Impact challenging, what's that fucker's name again? Eli Drake.
Eli Drake.
Have you seen what they've done with the TNA title, by the way?
Isn't it still the GFW title?
Yeah, but they just put a plate over it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
It looks so cheesy, dude.
Oh, man.
This match had interference up the ass. Just an overbooked shenanigans of a match. Alberto Del Rio runs in at the end. Takes out both guys and throws Eli Drake on top of Johnny. And he ends up getting the win and retaining. All indications are this was a shit show. And I heard that the next night at the tapings, with paying people to show up in the crowd and giving people that bought Bound for Glory tickets comp seats, they only drew 350 people, dude.
Really?
That is awful. That is fucking terrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The guys are probably like, man, I thought like going to Impact, I wouldn't have to wrestle for 300 people.
Yeah. It's
So we agree that Impact's going to be bought off pretty soon.
Or how much longer can this promotion survive, man?
I don't know. It's been through a lot. We'll get into that. Break and kayfabe.
Yeah, let's do it right now. Let's do break and kayfabe.
Come on. Word. You know I
gotcha. So,
do we want to start with WWE news or
WWE? We'll start there.
All right.
This card has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
First thing that happened was Jinder Mahal, finally, his reign of terror is over. AJ Styles defeated him for the WWE Championship.
The champ that runs the camp is now the hinder that... how do you say it? He hindered the Jinder.
That's right. So now the main event of Survivor Series is Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles.
Two men with very similar accolades. This man, if Brock doesn't see the value in this match and doesn't do more than just suplexes, Brock Lesnar is an idiot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think he's going to win, though, without question. But
I think it's going to be an interference from Jinder, because Jinder's going to get that title back.
Before India, you think so?
Yeah, because...
Well, no! Because that's another thing. They announced Jinder's going to be taking on Triple H in India.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get. So, Kevin and Sammy got in some trouble. We'll get into that in a second.
Yes.
But basically, Kevin is out of the main card of the India tour in New Delhi. So Triple H told Jinder Mahal that he will challenge him in New Delhi at the India show.
Right.
And so then, I think Jinder's going to get the title to face Triple H with.
So with AJ Styles off the Survivor Series team now, they announced that John Cena will be taking his place on Team SmackDown. So now you've got Shane McMahon, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Randy Orton, and John Cena taking on Kurt Angle, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and
Jason
fucking Jordan. Yeah.
The only man hated more than Roman Reigns.
Dude.
Poor kid.
I mean, he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. I mean, I think having Jason Jordan kind of like wounded the blow of John Cena being on the Survivor Series team.
You think so?
Because I feel like, yeah, I think because that's like really unexpected. And if Jason Jordan hadn't been on there, people would be complaining about John Cena being on the team.
Another title change happened on Raw. The New Day cost the Shield the tag team titles. The Bar has those belts now, so now they will be taking on the Usos. And I'm pretty much guaranteeing that it's going to be the Shield versus the New Day at Survivor Series.
Yeah, Roman Reigns got cleared the other day, so... these live events, like, I've been seeing clips of them, dude. They look so much fun. It's freaking, the Shield has, like, a special guest every other night. And I think one night, Samoa Joe did the powerbomb to the New Day.
Yes, he did. Yeah, they have all kinds of fun stuff going on at those things. Yeah, so Survivor Series, to me, looks a lot better than it did a few weeks ago.
Oh, definitely, for sure. You got some of the bigger... You know, this is perfect for Roode, Nakamura, and Samoa Joe. You know, I think Samoa Joe has been doing the best out of the old TNA dudes. So I think this will put Rude and Nakamura back on a path. During one of the live events, Shinsuke and AJ teamed up, and it was only those two left in the ring when the match had ended, and people were chanting WrestleMania, WrestleMania. So I don't know, man.
So for Wrestle Kingdom 12, which is a few months away, we got a bunch of matches. Main event obviously staying the same. Okada defending the...
Well, now it's a double main event.
Yeah. IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Tetsuya Naito. Then we've got Kenny Omega defending the United States Championship against Chris Jericho. We've got Hiroshi Tanahashi defending the Intercontinental title against Switchblade. The Young Bucks match with Roppongi 3K. We've also got... What am I missing here? One match
the
that was...
Fatal Four-Way.
The Fatal Four-Way for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. Another match that was just announced is Cody Rhodes is going to be defending the Ring of Honor Championship against Kota Ibushi.
Really?
Yeah. That's if he still has a belt, because he's defending that against Dalton Castle next month at Ring of Honor Final Battle.
Okay. Yeah, so that should be interesting. That sounds like a really great card. You think Naito's getting the belt or no?
Yes. Okada's had it for so long, dude. I think it's time for him to drop it, but I don't know. New Japan's crazy like that, man. They have no problem with Okada going over Naito clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I for sure expect the Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho match to be 100% the best match on the card, unless something crazy happens during the other matches.
Jericho, at 48 years old, do you think is going to outperform all those other guys?
I don't know. He's been in it. You know, his age factor does go in it, but you got to look at his wrestling style, too. Like, his wrestling's, he's adapted his wrestling style to his age.
Well, one thing I can say is I think with not being in the WWE, the handcuffs can come off a little bit. He's not going to be as restricted as he is.
Oh, definitely. And he can play that heel thing very much to his advantage. You know,
yeah,
because I don't see him going in this as a face, you know, with Kenny Omega being face sometimes and heel sometimes.
No, because the story is that New Japan's is, you know, basically a pond and WWE's an ocean, and Jericho's too big of a star, but he's just coming there to shut Kenny Omega up.
Yeah,
that's
so
the story they're telling.
Yeah, Kenny did a great promo. He basically said WWE guys aren't on his level, they ain't shit, and you know, why do you think Chris Jericho declared the match, you know? So
they're saying Suzuki is going to probably end up taking on Ishii for the openweight title, but not with the tag league. The heavyweight tag league is starting up, and we know Sami Callihan and Jeff Cobb are both in this tournament. I would love to see one of those guys go against Suzuki, just because I know they beat the shit out of each other.
Oh yeah, definitely. I can't wait. I really want to see that Cody Rhodes and Minoru Suzuki match.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Lucha Underground is coming back. Season 4 officially announced the other day.
Basically, you know, Johnny Mundo's redemption story.
Is Mundo going to be back, though?
I saw a clip, and he basically said, you know, first season, I put Lucha Underground back. Second season, I created the Worldwide Underground. Third season, I became the greatest champion. Fourth season, I take my throne back. Welcome to Slamtown. So he for sure is going to be back. He has to.
Yeah. Not only that, but I think, you know, they'll be lucky to get past the fourth season. So I want them to wrap this thing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if they can't wrap it, if they don't wrap it up, it's going to be overkill.
Don't end it on a cliffhanger. End it on, you know, there's a finality here to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, resolution, like a good story. Yeah.
Austin Aries on the Jericho podcast.
That was really good. I enjoyed it. So I just get Austin Aries just like, you know, they didn't really have anything for me. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, he didn't ask for his release.
Yeah, and they didn't just fire him. They're just like, hey, look, well, they fired him, but it wasn't any ill will towards him. It was just like, hey, dude, like,
right,
we really don't have anything for you.
Right.
Which I think is like kind of lame, you know, because he even went on said, he's like, you know, I'm like 40 years old. He's like, I don't need to be a title holder, you know. I'd much rather be used as a tool, essentially. And yeah. I thought that was really great. So I think they could have done more with Jericho, with Aries.
It changed perspective on him, because the rap on him is he's selfish, he's got a bad attitude, you know. I didn't see that there.
Yeah, no, and like when people were coming out saying he was selfish and had a bad attitude, I could understand it though, because like you see Balor, who walked a similar path to Aries, you see Samoa Joe, you see Styles, who walked a very similar path to Aries. They're getting all this push, and then he's stuck wrestling, you know, all these other guys. And, you know, so if he came off bitter to people, I can understand that. But to see that how he didn't come off bitter, I respect it a lot more, you know. And, like, ever since I found out Aries, I became a fan of him. So, and like we announced last show, he's going to be facing Ricochet coming this month. I think it'll be this weekend, actually.
Yeah, still no news on Ricochet either as far as is he going to WWE, is he not? It's been pretty quiet on that front.
Yeah, the UK boys finally made their main roster debut. Pete Dunne, poor guy.
He beat Enzo, didn't he?
Yeah, but he beat Enzo. That was his first match on Raw television, was against Enzo Amore.
And Tyler Bate fucking jobbed him.
I know. I was just, I mean, this is already a bad taste in my mouth, man. I just, you know, it's funny too, because they both, like, I guess, dated Liv Morgan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, some people were posting memes about it. They're like, you know, the connection between two men who have banged the same chick.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah, I just, you know, they made their debut. They don't need to be jobbing to Enzo.
Yeah, I agree. They're way too good for that. But that's 205 Live. Everybody's jobbing Enzo. A bunch of guys that are way better than him.
Yeah. You got news on... you were at an NXT event this weekend, correct?
Yes, I went to the NXT Live event from lovely Riverside, California. And the show opened up with... What did it open with? I think it was Billy Kay taking on Vanessa Bourne.
Nice.
And, you know, the match was okay. It was nothing special, but I think Vanessa Bourne's definitely got a look to her. And if she can keep the improvements going in the ring, she'll be good.
Yeah, for sure.
They had the Fatal 4-Way match that they're having at... War Games, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon,
yeah.
Nikki Cross, and who am I forgetting?
Kairi Sane.
Yeah, Kairi Sane. And Peyton Royce ended up winning that match. So I wonder if that's what they're going to end up doing at the pay-per-view. I think the
we'll see.
Coolest moment of the night for me, though, was Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler come out, and they're talking shit, and they're saying, you better respect us. No tag team back there is man enough to deal with us. And then Heavy fucking Machinery came out, dude.
Oh, word.
I love Heavy Machinery.
They're so cool, dude.
Especially Otis Dobovich. That guy's just got so much charisma.
Yeah.
They whooped their asses, though. That was a fun match for sure. Adam Cole took on Roderick Strong.
How was that match?
That was a pretty good match. I've seen better from these two, but, I mean, it's a house show.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah. Did you see our boy Aleister Black?
Yes, the main event was Drew McIntyre and Aleister Black taking on... they were tag-teaming. Taking on Cian Almas and the Velveteen Dream.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Very good
match.
That
was that match.
Tons of fun. Yeah, I loved it. Zelina Vega came out in the beginning, introduced Cian to the ring. yeah, so all in all, though, it was a pretty fun show. I'm trying to think if there's anything else of significance there. Not that I can really think of, but yeah, it was a ton of fun. I definitely recommend checking NXT out live if you ever get the chance. I think you have a chance to see like some fun things happen too there that you might not see on TV. Like you were saying with the Shield subbing and all that shit. You know what I mean? So, which
always
by the way,
see house events, guys.
Triple H teaming with the Shield makes no fucking sense.
I thought it was cool.
It made no sense in storyline, you know what I mean?
No, definitely didn't. Definitely didn't. Yeah. But it was great.
Sure.
It's the game.
Absolutely.
So Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been kicked off the European tour. Story goes is that during the live SmackDown from Europe, Sami Zayn, who's still losing after having this big heel turn, he lost to Kofi or Xavier?
Kofi.
He lost to Kofi, and I guess the reports from the God himself, Dave Meltzer, was that they were supposed to get beaten up by the New Day, and I guess Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were like, fuck that, and they beat the crap out of the New Day and
then
ran off.
They just left the ring is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were sent home.
Yeah, they were sent home, and a couple people said this, Meltzer including, just saying like, you know, they might not be back because that was just because it was live on TV. It was this live SmackDown.
Yeah, it could be any of the two extremes, to be honest.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. Roman Reigns has been cleared. There's something else. And I remember it, but I don't.
Big news?
I don't. It was just something that had happened. What the? Paige is speculated to return in at least the next 2 weeks. At least.
Yeah, heavy rumors are tomorrow on Raw.
Yeah. Fuck. There's one more thing.
Did you hear about Emma?
No. Oh, how much she's charging for shows?
Yeah, she tried to get like first class flights and like, what was it, $2,000 in appearance or some shit? In stardom?
Yeah, $2,000. I was like, fuck
that. I don't think that's going to fly.
You know, just because you're worth that in WWE doesn't mean you're worth that everywhere else. Oh, The Miz and Baron Corbin. Their feud has been, I don't know how they've been allowed to do this. So Baron Corbin did a Twitter rant. He filmed himself on Twitter, basically calling out The Miz, saying, you know, he's going to have to go after he's done with him at Survivor Series. You know, he's going to have to go home to his lovely wife and his kid to take care of him. And Miz replies back and just gets all crazy on him. You know, it's like, you ever talk about my wife and kid again, I'll break your fucking neck. And they've just been going back and forth between that. Miz got a good promo on this week on Raw. You know, basically saying he's going to, you know, he's basically the thing of it was like he doesn't earn, Miz has never earned respect. He's always demanded it.
Right.
You know, and he's going to put this young kid in his place. So I told you this match is going to be good. I'm excited for it still.
Have we spoken since Braun Strowman returned?
We have. Have we? Yes. He returned Monday, yeah.
Yeah, with the trash truck thing. Did we talk about that?
Oh, yeah, to The Miz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the funniest thing I've ever seen, dude.
Yeah, it was so good. I ended up rewatching it just because, well, the fucks and giggles, you know?
Yeah.
Just The Miz's reaction. And just my thing is, though, is like, how is he standing in that truck?
Well, he should be
Braun
dead.
Braun Strowman's a big dude. Yeah, he should be dead. I'm just like, how is he standing in that truck? Like, I don't believe that truck's bigger than him if he's standing in the bed of the truck.
Fair point. Yeah, I get what you say. I get what you mean.
That's a big motherfucker in a truck, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, why isn't he dead? Like, is Braun Strowman now immortal?
That's kind of what they're playing here, huh?
Is he Solomon Grundy?
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Every time he's supposed to die, he just magically reappears, you know?
On a Monday.
I think that's it, though, man. I don't think there's really too much more to wrap up here.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. We got Raw next week, or tomorrow.
Survivor Series.
This is the 12th. Yeah, Survivor Series.
So we got Survivor Series and War Games coming up next weekend.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to have a tag team title match this week? before Survivor Series or not?
A rematch?
Yeah, or do you think they're going to wait after Survivor Series?
They could have the rematch and then shenanigans will happen. It's definitely going with the Shield and the New Day, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And Raw still has to invade SmackDown, right? That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think this is going to happen.
It has to happen this week.
Yeah, because Kurt Angle, you know, Stephanie McMahon returned and basically threatened Kurt Angle with his job.
Yeah.
You know, classic
Stephanie. Chopped him down in size, emasculated him, yep. That always happens.
Took one of his testicles with her.
Pretty much. So we'll see how it pans out next weekend. That's it for now. A little bit of a shorter episode, but it's all good. You can follow us on all the social media, Dragonstar Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter. Download the show on iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, wherever else fine podcasts are available. That's it for now. Anything else you want to add?
Nah, just, you know, keep watching wrestling, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk to you soon.